30th anniversary of the installation of Street Sweep Memorial Tower. And therefore tonight, we will attempt to taste a fraction of a drop of your holy water. The more you read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the more you realize that you cannot penetrate into even one drop without the help of Sri Sri Gauranga and the disciples' succession. The nectar is too intense, and it's the ocean of nectar is too unlimited. You can't swim into it on your own strength. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are inconceivable. Even though he's Krishna in the role of Krishna's devotee, still, the wave of ecstatic love of Krishna, the tsunami that Lord Chaitanya set off, is beyond the understanding of human intelligence. Now let us go to Jagannath Puri, where the Lord is about to depart. You're going to hear the reactions of Mahaprabhu's injured associates. You're going to hear about the reaction of the Lord himself to his own announcement that he wants to depart. You're going to hear about spontaneous love of Krishna as compared to the strict execution of the rituals and rules. You're going to hear about how Lord Chaitanya enacted his system for spreading love of Krishna. Hopefully you will realize a slight fraction of the drop of spiritual relationships and spiritual emotions. I will leave behind our Mayavada and personal tendencies, in which we think beyond liberation there is no personality, no individuality, no personal feelings. Simply by hearing about Lord Chaitanya and his associates is the easiest way to swim and dive in the ocean of Krishna prema. Those who know about Krishna and Krishna Lila sometimes don't understand that the easiest way in the age of Kali to enter Krishna Lila is through Gaura Lila. Otherwise, properly understanding Krishna is difficult. What to speak of entering Krishna Lila? But if you approach through Lord Chaitanya, the path is easy. In this most difficult age for spiritual realization, if you approach Krishna through Sisi Gauranga, the path is easy. You always have to bear in mind this paradox. The most difficult age for spiritual realization and the easiest process for spiritual realization. Within Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya has made his decision to go to South India to preach. And he has to announce that to his associates. The Sangha, the intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya, the most wonderful pure devotees, the most confidential relishers of Lord Krishna. That is Mahaprabhu's band. They gathered to be with him in Jagannath Puri. Now the Lord has to inform them that he wants to go to South India. How does he do this? By hearing how Lord Chaitanya presents to his associates about his desire to go, we'll learn how to properly value devotee relationships while doing our duty. We'll learn how from within the Sangha, the sweet association of devotees, we nevertheless remain committed to our devotional service. just as Lord Chaitanya was committed to going to South India to deliver all the people there. At the same time, he's sensitive to the desires of his devotees. So he calls them all together, and holding their hands, he begins to implore them. You are all more dear to me than my life. I can give up my life, but I can't give up you all. To give up your association is more difficult for me. Have you ever told someone that? I can give up my life easily, but to give up your association, that is more difficult. This is real spiritual love. Lord Chaitanya and his associates are revealing the bonds of spiritual, pure spiritual attachment. They're not just saying these things. And the words are not founded on the slightest bit of material sense gratification. These are the pure spiritual feelings between the Lord and his associates. And the Lord is saying, I can give up my life. That's easier than giving up the association of your devotees. And then Lord Chaitanya commends them. You've all done nicely by bringing Vijayadharma and Puri. You've allowed me to see Lord Jagannatha. We'll be speaking more about Lord Jagannatha tomorrow through the eyes of Lord Chaitanya. After commending them for being real friends, you brought me to Jagannatha and Puri. Then Lord Chaitanya asks for a favor. This is the proper way. First you commend someone for the good they've actually done, and then you present your request. Please give me just one bit of charity. Please give me permission to leave for a tour of South India. Now, Lord Chaitanya understands this is going to be emotionally difficult. You are dealing here with pure spiritual emotions, which are not based on the body or mind. You are dealing with the pure emotions of the spirit soul in relationship with the Supreme Personality Godhead. So Lord Chaitanya is very sensitive. He's very delicate in his dealings. I've always said that you can learn good qualities of a Vaishnava just by associating with Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In his sensitivity, in this most delicate situation, Lord Chaitanya says, I have to go search out my elder brother Vishrup. I heard he's wandering somewhere in South India. I want to find him. And forgive me, but I'd like to go alone. And until I return from South India, you all wait here at Jagannathpur. Now, this is a very loving pretense that Lord Chaitanya is saying. I want to search for this room. It's not a lie. It's not mundane diplomacy. It is Lord Chaitanya just presenting his human side. I don't know where this room is. I've heard he's in South India, I want to go. But of course, as a Supreme Personality of Godhead, he knows the Shroom has already left this world. But just to properly deal with the emotions of his associates, he took leave of his omniscience, so to speak, and said, I don't know where he is. The reason is the most intense feelings of his associates. The intensity we can't imagine. This is what makes Chaitanya Charitamrita so inconceivable. We can't fathom how intense the emotions are running between Lord Chaitanya and his associates. What the speed of the emotions Lord Chaitanya feels in his role of taking the position of Srimati Radharani. In fact, Chaitanya Charitamrita is so inconceivable that we may even give up on it. Oh, this is far beyond me. But no, as Krishna, as Kaviraj Goswami, implores you, just keep reading repeatedly with faith and gradually you'll be able to enter deeper and deeper into the mystery of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, what is the reaction of Lord Chaitanya's devotees? They've heard Lord Chaitanya's proposal, they've heard his commendation, they've heard his reason, but nothing will soothe their hearts. They are very unhappy. Their faces dry up. They're very sullen. Now, this is not a display of mundane emotion. Usually when you hear that someone is so unhappy their face dries up and they're downcast, this is material lamentation. The story of material existence. Hankering and lamentation. And spiritual activities, no sojati, no sojati. No hankering, no lamentation. So what's going on here? You're being given a vision of the emotions, the pure emotions of the spiritual world, in which there is unhappiness without a trace of material contamination. All the spiritual emotions are blissful. Even unhappiness in the spiritual world is blissful. Pain in the spiritual world is blissful. Separation in the spiritual world is blissful. So, you have to properly understand this lila, you have to take leave of all your material conceptions of mundane emotions, mundane relationships, and just let the nectar pour into your ear, and then gradually get a glimpse of the spiritual world, spiritual relationships, and spiritual emotions. It's easier to do that through Gaura lila than it is through Krishna lila. So if you approach Krishna lila through Gaura lila, then you're on the expressway, the motorway. So please visualize the devotees, their reaction. Their faces drying up, downcast. Lord Chaitanya is going to leave us. He wants to go to South India alone. That was his request. Nityananda is the first to speak up.
How is it possible for you to go alone? Who can tolerate this? We can't just sit here and let you go to South India alone. There's so many rogues. There's so many thieves. You'll be in danger. Let me suggest, one or two of us should go with you.
They can be whoever you like. You can choose them. Whoever, whomever, but two should go with you.
Allow me to say that I happen to know all the paths in South India. I happen to be an expert in how to get to all the tirthas.
Just warn me, I'll go with you. This is Nityananda.
Pick two, any two you like, it doesn't matter, take them with you to protect you. And actually, I happen to know all the paths.
Now, Lord Chaitanya's reply is very artful.
He commands, validates the relationship. He says, I'm just your puppet, and you're the puppeteer. You pull the strings. I dance whatever way you want. So whatever you want me to do, I'll do.
And then, let's go on and on with it.
After I took sannyas and wanted to go to Vrindavan, you took me to the house of the Vedacharya in Shantipur. Furthermore, on my way to Jagannathpur, you broke my danda and threw it in the river.
We're discussing this at our gathering in Otaki. Day before yesterday or so, 2 days ago. Why did Nityananda break Lord Chaitanya's danda after Lord Chaitanya took sannyas?
Because Nityananda thought, what is this? The Supreme Personality of Godhead needs to carry a danda. He's not part of any Varnashram Dharma. He is the Supreme Paramahansa Yogi. Although the material energy comes from him, he's completely detached from that material energy, even though it comes from him. This is the greatest mystic feat. He doesn't need to carry a danda. So Lord Chaitanya broke it and tossed it away. And then later, when Lord Chaitanya asked him about it, he said, "Oh, you don't remember? While you were lost in the ecstatic dancing of Krishna praying, you fell on the danda and broke it." Now, how is it that the two lords converse in this way? Through Shishi Gaurinikaya, you get a glimpse of the unlimited radiance of the spiritual world. So, Lord Chaitanya points out these things in the Janana. I know you have great affection for me, but by your doing these things, it disturbs my activities. Now, what were those activities that Lord Chaitanya held to be very dear to him, and that he was pointing out that his associates were disturbing? Lord Chaitanya seriously wanted to establish the sannyas dharma and to demonstrate rigid performance of sannyas vows. He really wanted to do that. But his associates would constantly disrupt that. They wouldn't let Lord Chaitanya perform the austerities anyone could perform. Because they're thinking, he's a Supreme Personality of Godhead. He cannot lay down on the hard floor. He cannot treat his body harshly. But Lord Chaitanya, although he's Krishna, he's seeing himself as a bhakta. He's a devotee. So he wants to demonstrate severe austerities and penances. So there's a constant, like, loving combat between Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. Now, Chaitanya goes down the list of accusations. He started with Nityananda. "You tricked me. I went to Vrindavan. You misdirected me to the Acharya's house. You broke my dhamma on the way to Jagannath Puri. What about Jagannanda? Jagannanda wants me to enjoy sense gratification. He's always, in other words, trying to make a soft existence for me. Why do I accept it? Why do I accept all his luxuries that he's trying to arrange for me?" They weren't luxuries from our point of view, but Lord Chaitanya considered any little special tiny comfort was inhibiting his sannyas karma. Why did he accept it from Jagannanda? Out of fear. I just do whatever he says. Because if I don't accept what he wants, he won't talk to me for 3 days. Who else? Most of them, he continues down the list of accusations. Mukunda. He doesn't seem to realize, as a sannyasi, I'm supposed to lie on the ground. I'm supposed to take a bath 3 times a day, even in the freezing winter. But when Mukunda sees me do this, he becomes very unhappy. He can't handle my performing severe austerities. Now, he doesn't say it. He doesn't speak to me about these things. But I know that he's unhappy. And when I see him unhappy, I become twice as unhappy. This is Lord Chaitanya's predicament. You see how bound up the Lord is with his devotees. But he's not finished. Damodar Pandit. I'm a sannyasi. I'm a renounced sort of life, but Damodar Pandit feels that he has to educate me, practically with a stick in his hand. It seems that Damodar thinks I'm just a neophyte as far as social etiquette is concerned. He doesn't like my independent nature. But this way, Lord Chaitanya is running down the list, and it seems like he's finding faults with his most intimate associates. And then he says, there's a point about
advanced devotees, non-advanced devotees. You all, Damodara Pandit and others, are very advanced in getting Lord Krishna's mercy. So you don't have to worry about the rigid prosecution of the dharma of your ashram. Then what do you want? You don't have to worry about it for yourself. And you want me to enjoy sense gratification. Lord, if that recalls the little things they would arrange for sense gratification. Straw man for sense gratification. So you are very advanced in getting Krishna's mercy. I am just a poor struggling sannyasi. And therefore I have to follow the rules of regulations. He's very careful. I accept. Damodara Pandit, Mukunda, Jagannatha, Nityananda, you're all on that high platform. But I'm very low. This is what I take time to teach it. That's how to be a devotee. I got to strictly follow all I haven't finished. And then Lord Chaitanya continues. Therefore, you all remain here in Jagannath Puri while I tour South India alone. In other words, Lord Chaitanya is saying, I need to get myself together. I need to strengthen my sannyas vows. You all don't have to worry about that. You're really high on that platform of pure love of Krishna, not me. Now what's going on? You actually have a very beautiful discussion of the relationship between pure spontaneous love versus the regulations of bhakti. When we say the regulations of bhakti, we're not talking about no family, and so on and so forth. Those are the regular principles of being a human being. They don't make you to be a devotee, they allow you to be a human being. What makes you a devotee is chanting Hare Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada explains in the most beautiful and deep purport that the accusations by Lord Chaitanya against his devotees actually showed his great appreciation of their intense love. You see, Lord Chaitanya is saying, I'm so fallen, and I have to follow these rules very strictly, but you all are on that platform of Rajanuga pure love. But he's actually speaking the truth. Not that he is fallen, but yes, his associates are beyond the execution of the rigid execution of rituals in bhakti. Because the goal of the rituals in bhakti is to love Krishna. They already have loved Krishna. Let's listen to this beautiful purport from Srila Prabhupada. All the accusations made by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu against his beloved devotees actually showed his great appreciation of their intense love for him. Yet, he mentioned these faults one after another as if he were offended by their intense affection. The personal associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes behave contrary to regular principles out of intense love for the Lord. And because of their love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself sometimes violated the regular principles of a sannyasi. So it is conceded that for the general public, this violation is not good. But Prabhupada explains that Lord Chaitanya was so controlled by his devotees' love that he was obliged to break some of the rules. So it seems that Lord Chaitanya is accusing them, but actually he's very pleased by their pure love of God. Therefore, when he was apparently condemning Damodara Pandit, oh, you're just beyond all rules and regulations. You're just on that high platform as I am a struggling sannyasi. Lord Chaitanya is actually showing, stating, clarifying that his devotees place more importance on love of Krishna than on social etiquette. So there is, it is a fact in our bhakti Vaishnava history that there are, as Prabhupada explains, many instances of devotional service rendered by previous acharyas who didn't care about social behavior when they were intensely absorbed in love of Krishna. It is a fact that bhakti has nothing to do with the material world. So it is a fact in our mind there are acharyas who just completely ignored the formulas and behavioral standards of mundane existence and just did whatever was necessary to satisfy Krishna's senses. Now, should we do that? Prabhupada clarifies the situation for us. As the founder of Acharya, he clarifies that we are a preaching institution. Although we are not part of the material world, as follows the Lord Chaitanya, we are acting, we're preaching, we're functioning within the material world. Therefore, we have to be conscious of behavior that will spoil our preaching reputation. And listen to the way Prabhupada says it. He speaks about previous acharyas who just ignore all social formularies. Then he says, unfortunately, as long as we are within this material world, we must observe social customs to avoid criticism by the general populace. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire. So there you have the founder acharya directly saying, what is Lord Chaitanya's desire? In the context of our situation, as a preaching missionary institution, we have to observe social customs and seek to avoid criticism by the general population. But Prabhupada presents that point by saying, unfortunately, we're in this material world. Such a beautiful juxtaposition, interchanging of the spiritual and material reality and the link between the two. So brilliant. Now, what is it about Lord Chaitanya's associates that their love is so great for the Lord that he sometimes breaks the regular rituals of sannyas? Not a regular princess, we know that at least. Just things like sleeping on the floor with a thin mattress instead of just going to sleep on the stone slab. What is it that's making that happen? It's the love of Lord Chaitanya's associates for him. The affection between the two, the devotees and the Lord, it can't be described. So, Lord Chaitanya had to tolerate a lot of unhappiness due to his accepting sannyas. Personal unhappiness. What was Lord Chaitanya's personal unhappiness? He became unhappy to see the devotees unhappy about his performance of austerities. But this is not material unhappiness on either side, the devotee side or Lord Chaitanya's side. It's all about love. A love so pure that it causes unhappiness that has no trace of material contamination and is ever increasingly blissful. This is the unhappiness of the spiritual world. You cannot understand it with material intelligence. You can only understand it by hearing. Lord Chaitanya would follow the rituals and protocols of the sannyas ashram so rigidly, but the devotees couldn't tolerate it. They became greatly affected by this very rigid following. And when they became unhappy, Lord Chaitanya could not tolerate the unhappiness they felt. So here you have two things about what couldn't be tolerated. The devotees couldn't tolerate seeing Lord Chaitanya perform austerities. They became so unhappy. And then Lord Chaitanya couldn't tolerate their unhappiness. So the combination of all this was that Lord Chaitanya wanted to go to South India alone. The whole thing was too much of a pure transcendental outburst of emotions.
Lord Chaitanya is thinking, if they go with me to South India, they'll become so unhappy because I am the one who is before my sannyasa ashram. And all the rituals, I am the one who is the ground. I don't want Jagannanda bringing pots of scented oil to the side of my body. So since I'm going to South India to very firmly demonstrate my sannyasa ashram, better they don't go with me. Because if they go with me, they become unhappy. And then when they're unhappy, I'll become unhappy. In this way, Lord Chaitanya decided, the best thing to do is declare all their good qualities to be false. By trying to understand this dialogue, I've been reading it for 30 years now, more, 31, 30, 32 years. You just go deeper and deeper into the nectar of what is pure love of Krishna. And you lose your impersonalism just by trying to understand what is going on between Lord Chaitanya and his associates. And yet by your doing this, by your trying to understand what's going on between Lord Chaitanya and his associates, an amazing thing happens. It becomes easier for you to understand Krishna. It becomes easier for you to understand Krishna Leela. That's the payoff by approaching Krishna the proper way in the age of color. Through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Still, devotees are humbly insisting, let us go with you, let us go with you. But Lord Chaitanya, showing his independence as the Supreme Personality, said, no, I wish to go alone. Then, Nityananda speaks. Now, he's going to make a presentation. But notice, once again, how a presentation is made. It's done in such a sweet way, even though Nityananda Prabhu is going to assert something. He says, whatever you order, that's my duty. Never mind if it results in happiness or distress, whatever you order is my duty. Yet, I still would like to submit a petition to you. Please consider it, and if you think it proper, please accept it. You have to carry your extra set of clothes, loincloth, water pot. Meanwhile, you always chant Hare Krishna. You'll be chanting, and then you'll be counting your rounds on one hand. That was a system back then. One hand is engaged in chanting on the knees, the other is keeping the number of rounds. How then, since you're always chanting, and both hands will be engaged, one hand on the beat, one hand on your rounds, how will you carry the water pot, an extra pair of clothes? Think about it. Indeed, this is where our system of counting the rounds comes from. Sometimes devotees wonder, why a fixed number of rounds? Why not just chant whenever you feel like it? But we are approaching Krishna through Parampara, through the sort of succession. And the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, as direct disciples of Mahaprabhu, made it clear that there is a system of chanting the holy name of Krishna according to numerical strength. As Srinivasa Acharya says in his prayer, Sadhguru-Sramyashtaka, Sankhya-Pura-Nama-Gana-Najibhi. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan always chanted Hare Krishna according to numerical strength. And we're following in those footsteps. So Lord Chaitanya indeed is doing that. So Nityananda is playing out. We have a problem here. You have to carry a few things, a water pot, a change of clothes, but your two hands are always engaged in chanting Hare Krishna, chanting rounds and counting. Furthermore, it's not that you're simply going to be chanting and counting rounds.
You will be falling on the ground in ecstatic meditation. You will be unconscious sometimes in Krishna brain. While you are unconscious, overwhelmed by the ecstasy of pure love of Krishna, who is going to protect you from your belongings? So then, Vishnu concluded his presentation. Here is a simple Brahmana named Krishna Das. Please accept him. Take him with you. That is my request. So that is how Krishna Das was able to travel with Lord Chaitanya. Now, even though Krishna Das is associated, how Krishna Das is associated with Lord Chaitanya, we'll find out he has some mishaps later, which will cause Lord Chaitanya to reject him from his association. But that comes later. Now, before leaving for South India, Lord Chaitanya wants to visit the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, because he wants to ask Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya for permission to leave for South India. Just see how Lord Chaitanya is placing himself as the servant of the Vaishnava consent. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, completely independent, yet he's showing that a devotee acts within the Sangha of devotees in a consensual way, considering the valuable opinions of the other devotees, and even he asking Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, a householder, for his permission for Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Sannyasi, to go to South India. So first, Lord Chaitanya enters Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, and the Bhattacharya offers obeisances and gives the Lord a place to sit. And then they discuss topics about Lord Krishna. That's the way of the Mahaprabhu Sangha. They always indulge in Krishna Katha. Perhaps mundaners, when they visit each other's homes, first comes out the tea. Is that so? If they're from Fiji or India, out comes the tea. If the kiwis, out comes the beer. If the young kiwis, out comes the usual measure. Herbal supplements. And if you're in Lord Chaitanya's Sangha, out comes the Krishna Katha. Always Krishna Katha. And then after discussing various topics of Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya informs the Bhattacharya, I've come to get your order. You see what's happened. My elder brother, Vishnu, has taken sannyas and gone to South India. I must go to search for him. So please let me go. Please give me permission. Give me your permission and I will return very soon, very happily. Now, what was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's reaction? Oh, he didn't expect this. He had just attained Lord Chaitanya after being the most hardcore, impersonalist scholar in India. He was the most renowned impersonalist pundit throughout India, and yet he became a bhakta. And now, after having attained Lord Chaitanya wants to leave. How does he show his inner devastation? He grabs hold of Lord Chaitanya's feet and begs. Have you ever done that? Grab hold of someone's feet and beg? Please, please don't go. We don't know what is real love in this world. We don't have even the slightest idea of the power of real love. But when you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, as we become more and more purified, we can get insight into the most intense, pure dealings of the spiritual world. The sorrow of Vedacharya gradually becomes peace and makes his presentation after many births. Somehow or other, I obtained your association. Now Providence wants to take this association away from me. I can tolerate if a thunderbolt falls upon my head. I can tolerate if my own son dies. But I can't tolerate the separation from you. Now think about that. Can you say that to someone? I can tolerate a thunderbolt. A thunderbolt striking you on the head? I can tolerate my son dying. What mother can say that? I can tolerate my son dying. But I cannot tolerate separation from Lord Chaitanya. These are the demons of the spiritual world. Once you start to contemplate the dealings between Lord Chaitanya and his devotees, the separations, the meetings, then you can more easily relish love of Krishna and separation as shown by the residents of Vrindavan. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya knows what can you do. As much as he doesn't want Lord Chaitanya to go, Lord Chaitanya is the independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's going to go. Therefore, the Bhattacharya said, please then, just stay in my home a few days so I can see the Lord speak a few days more. The Lord Chaitanya agrees. Now, after getting permission from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Lord Chaitanya wants the permission of Lord Jagannath. You see, first the Vaishnava, then the Supreme Lord. How does Lord Chaitanya get the permission of Lord Jagannath? The blessings of Lord Jagannath. We'll be speaking about Lord Jagannath tomorrow. Balaharva will be singing songs about Lord Jagannath tomorrow. Lord Chaitanya went to the Jagannath Mandir, and as soon as the pujaris saw him, they brought forth prasad and a garland from Lord Jagannath. That garland from Lord Jagannath, as soon as Lord Chaitanya walked in, that is the permission of Lord Jagannath. So then Lord Chaitanya circumambulated the Jagannath deities and he prepared to leave Jagannath Puri. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had a final request after Lord Chaitanya had stayed a few days in his home. He said, you know, there is someone I would really humbly beg that you meet. Before I became your devotee, in my personal monistic nonsense, I laughed at this devotee. I thought he was just a sentimental, know-nothing Vaishnava. And I was a very hardcore Mayavada impersonalist. But now that I have become a bhakta, I can see that this devotee, Ramananda Roy, is the most exalted transcendentalist. I would humbly beg you, please, when you're touring South India, take his association. He is the limit of knowledge of Krishna Rasa. Now, we must notice here that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is recommending a householder for Lord Chaitanya to hear Krishna Katha from. Not only a householder, but a non-Brahmana. This is a very important aspect of Gaura Lila. Lord Chaitanya has shown you that his movement is completely spiritual, has nothing to do with mundane considerations. He's on the spiritual platform, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What he speaks is on the spiritual platform, and his devotees are on the spiritual platform. Never mind your birth. Therefore, Sarvabhauma Acharya is free to make that presentation to the topmost sannyasi. A brahmana is the top of the social order. Sannyasi is the top of the ashram order. Lord Caitanya is Nyasi Shiromani, the crest jewel of the sannyas ashram. He's a brahmana. He's a sannyasi. He's the pinnacle of that. Yet, Sarvabhauma Acharya says, please go hear about intimate Krishna Leela. Hear about Krishna Rasa, Rasa Tattva, from a non-brahmana and a grihastha, non-sannyasi. But the spiritual egalitarianism doesn't end there. Spiritual egalitarianism means never mind your material body, never mind your material birth. If you understand the science of Krishna, you can be a dear devotee of Krishna. You can be a preceptor. You can be a teacher, brahmana, sannyasi. This is what Lord Chaitanya's movement establishes. And how does Lord Chaitanya himself seal that conclusion? As he's about to leave Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to go to South India, look, remember, first Lord Chaitanya asked his permission. But it gets even more intense. Lord Chaitanya asks then for his blessings. A sannyasi asking a householder for blessings to go out and preach? But this is Lord Chaitanya's revolution. He's showing that what counts is the attachment for Krishna, not the social standing. So indeed, without any hesitation, Lord Chaitanya says, please bless me that my preaching in South India will be successful. This is Lord Chaitanya showing the activities of the spirit soul on the pure platform in distributing pure Krishna consciousness. That pure distribution of Krishna consciousness is transcendental to any mundane designations, mundane forms. After asking for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's blessings, Lord Chaitanya leaves. And what does Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya do? He falls on the ground unconscious. Does Lord Chaitanya stop? No. He keeps going. You might say, this is very cold. This is very cruel. How can Lord Chaitanya see his dear devotee falling around, collapsing unconsciously? You would stop, but you would, oh, what's wrong, what's wrong? Have you ever walked away from a beloved who's falling around in front of you, unconscious because you're leaving? Has your beloved ever fallen around unconscious when you were leaving? These days, it's probably applause. Oh, this is funny. And that's it. It's a feast. Get out of here. We don't know what we love others. We're so caught up in our bodily and mental phantasmagories. And then with the pride that accompanies condition life, we think, ooh, I know what appreciation and love is. No. When you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you realize you don't have a clue of what real love is. But you'll get that clue by repeatedly hearing through this simple succession. And once again, by hearing about Lord Chaitanya, you'll more easily understand Krishna and his loving beings. Lord Chaitanya had his duty, his spiritual duty in mind. He wanted to go to South India to deliver the people there. Therefore, he did not even take any notice of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's fainting on the ground. Another point we have to understand is that who can actually understand the mind and intentions of Lord Chaitanya? We're just getting a peek. Kaviraj Goswami constantly makes this point that actually he's just presenting one drop of the ocean of Gaura Lila to you.
And even that one drop can't be properly fathomed by us. We're just standing on the shore of an unlimited ocean, just trying to cope with a fraction of one drop. But Kaviraj Goswami says, that one drop is enough to drown the whole universe in pure love of Krishna. So although it's just a drop out of the ocean, that one drop is enough to drown everyone in the universe. This is what you're dealing with in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
So this may be hard to understand, why Lord Chaitanya just swiftly left, even though his dear devotee Sahaja Vaishnava had collapsed on the ground. You have to bear in mind Lord Chaitanya's determination to deliver the people of South India. Nityananda Prabhu did help Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya up, and Nityananda Prabhu and he called some men, some devotees, to take Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya back to his house. As Lord Chaitanya is leaving Puri, he stops at Alalanath, and there he sings and dances in ecstatic love of Krishna, and the whole town just plunges into the ocean of the love of Krishna. Children, old ladies, everyone, they're ecstatically dancing and chanting Hare Krishna. What are they seeing in Lord Chaitanya? Such a beautiful description given by Kaviraj Goswami. They're seeing molten gold dressed in saffron cloth. Have you ever seen a big quantity of gold? Even just a little bit of gold, such a stunning sight it is. So Lord Chaitanya is molten gold, wrapped in saffron cloth, and ornamented with ecstatic symptoms. Beautiful poetry. Even in English, it is beautiful. What to speak of the original Bengali. Molten gold, wrapped in saffron cloth, ornamented by ecstatic symptoms, trembling in the body, eyes full of tears. This is what the people of Alalanath saw. And they all came in a stampede to see Lord Chaitanya chanting Hare Krishna, dancing in ecstatic love. They saw his astonishing bodily transformations. They didn't want to go home. Whoever saw him did not want to return home. The whole town floated in ecstatic love of Krishna. This is Lord Chaitanya. Beginning his tour of South India, but he's still in the Puri vicinity. So, Lord Nityananda is watching all this. Lord Nityananda is thinking, he hasn't even really gotten going yet. And look what's happening. Therefore, Lord Nityananda made a prediction. Based on what I see here, in just the outskirts of Puri, this flood of love of Krishna through chanting and dancing, I predict that there'll be chanting and dancing in every village. This is real science. You see the chanting and dancing, and then you see the potency, and you make the scientific conclusion. This will spread to every town and village. That was Vijayananda's application of bhakti science. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hasn't even gotten out of the precincts of Puri, so to speak. He's still in the vicinity of Puri. And look what's happening to Alalana. I can just see now what will happen to every town and village. And what does Srila Prabhupada say? He said, Nityananda's prediction doesn't apply simply to South India or India. His prediction is about the whole world, every town and village. And he points out that if we stay true to the principles of Lord Chaitanya, chanting 16 rounds daily and following the regular principles, our efforts
in spreading Krishna consciousness.
Sarvadhana village will be successful.
The throngs of Alamana are getting so ecstatic that Lord Vishnanda is seeing that. And it's getting a bit late in the day. There are things to be done, baths to be taken, prasad to be taken. So he devises some way of dispersing the crowd. And he takes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to lunch. They close the door of where they're staying, so just the inner devotees are there, and they honor prasad. Prasad is a meditation, and this is so clearly seen in Chaitanya Lila. They don't casually take prasad. Their bellies don't take prasad. Their souls take prasad. And we can definitely understand how to properly honor prasad, prasad seva, by relishing the descriptions in Chaitanya Charitamrita about how Lord Chaitanya and his associates take prasad. After lunchtime, and all the devotees had plundered the remnants, then it was time to deal with the people. Because outside the closed door where Lord Chaitanya and his associates were, a huge crowd had gathered. They were all chanting Hare Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya told his associates, please open the door. Let me give darshan to all these throngs of people who gathered outside. So the people came and went in this darshan from midday until evening. Just think of this beginning of Lord Chaitanya's tour of South India. And after night came, Lord Chaitanya discussed the pastimes of Lord Krishna again with his devotees. And then, in the morning, he left for South India. He bade farewell to the devotees, embracing them. Each devotee embraced by Lord Chaitanya, and then Lord Chaitanya left. And what did they do? Collapsed on the ground unconscious. Now you're thinking, what is Lord Chaitanya feeling? All these devotees are collapsing on the ground unconscious upon his departure. Lord Chaitanya is feeling very perturbed. His emotions are described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He's feeling disturbed. He's feeling unhappy as he walks. But is this some kind of material lamentation, material stress? No. This is the disturbance and the unhappiness of pure love. But not a drop of material sentiment there. Not a drop of material happiness or distress there. We can only understand by hearing, serving, and then gradually we'll start getting a glimpse of these pure spiritual emotions. About how even unhappiness and disturbance is pure bliss in the spiritual world. So all the devotees, after fasting that day, went back to Jagannath Puri. Jai Shri Mataji, Jai Shri Mataji, Jai Shri Mataji. Now, in conclusion, we'll speak about Lord Chaitanya's trek to South India. He's described in his march to South India as a mad lion distributing the love of Krishna. As he would walk, he would chant, Krishna, 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 hey. Whomever he would meet, he would say, chant Hare Krishna. That person would walk a little bit with Lord Chaitanya, become saturated with Lord Chaitanya's bhakti shakti, and then Lord Chaitanya would embrace that person. That person would then go to his village, and everyone in the village would become affected by that person. And then people from other villages would come to that village and go back to their village, and their whole village would be infected by love of Krishna. And other people would come to that village. In this way, Lord Chaitanya spread the pure love of Krishna all over South India, just by walking and meeting people. And that whoever he met would go back to his village, make the village Krishna conscious. Other people would come to that village, and they would go back to their village, make their village Krishna conscious. And this way is a whole network covering South India. Just by Lord Chaitanya just walking on the road, chanting Krishna, 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 this is the beginning of the Sankirtan movement. It is pointed out in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya didn't manifest this bhakti shakti in Navadvipa. Why not? Navadvipa was the seat of all the pundits, logic, reason, the Vedic supplementary skills. But they were not very favorable to bhakti. Just the trappings of Vedic knowledge. How to argue, how to perform rituals, how to do various pujas. But they completely missed the point of all the rituals and pujas, which is love of Krishna. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya chose to start his preaching in South India. In this way, Lord Chaitanya is clearly showing his movement is about pure love as the topmost principle, not sterile mechanical rituals masquerading as religion. We can go on speaking, of course, but staying a little late. Would you like to hear one short pastime of Lord Chaitanya's story or something? While Lord Chaitanya is in South India, he meets a Brahmin named Ramdas Ripura. Now this is very important because so many of you have some attachment, familiarity, inclination due to upbringing with Lord Rama. You have some fondness for Lord Rama. So Lord Chaitanya met this Brahmin named Ramdas Ripura, and the Brahma invited Lord Chaitanya to his home for lunch, as is the custom. You see a wandering mendicant, sannyasi, priest come for lunch. Lord Chaitanya came, but he noticed it's 12 o'clock, midday, and this Brahma hasn't even begun to cook yet. How is lunch going to be on time? It's 12 o'clock. He hasn't started to cook. Lord Chaitanya didn't even see any of the ingredients around for cooking. So he asked the Brahmana, what's happening here? And then the Brahmana replied, you have to understand, we're in the forest. And when Lakshman brings back fruits, vegetables and roots, then Sita Devi will prepare them. But Lakshman hasn't come back with the fruits and roots. Therefore, we have to wait. Lord Chaitanya immediately, of course, understood this Brahmana is absorbed in Ram Lila. And Lord Chaitanya approved of his method of worship. Very intense mental cultivation of being, of participating in Ram's pastimes. So, Lord Chaitanya waited. And then, after a while, the Brahmana announced, Lakshman has brought the roots and fruits and vegetables. Sita Devi is cooking. So it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. By the time Lord Chaitanya got to get lunch. But he noticed that Ramdas Ripura would not take any lunch. Lord Chaitanya asked him, why? Well, you're not eating. And then the Brahmana explained, I am in such a deep lamentation. I am in such a deep situation of sorrow. I want to end my life. How do I do it? Should I enter into water? Should I enter into fire? How should I end my life? I just want to know the means.
And Lord Chaitanya asked him, where does this great sorrow come from?
And Ramaswami could explain, I cannot tolerate the thought that the Jagat Mata, the Universal Mother, the Mahalakshmi, the Supreme Goddess of Fortune, has been touched by Ramana. I can't handle this. I want to end my life. How can it be Ramana touched Sita Devi?
And Lord Chaitanya explained to him the transcendental reality. Lord Chaitanya explained, in general, first of all, how can the spiritual energy be within the touches of the material energy? It is not possible for the material realm to connect with the spiritual realm. Therefore, how can you say that Ramana, such a demon, touched Sita Devi, the Lord's pleasure potency? As you say, she's Jagat Mata, she's Mahalakshmi. How could such a demon as Ravana touch her? It's not possible. This is, in other words, Lord Chaitanya is explaining the science of the spiritual world and Krishna's different energies. Pradasya Shakti of the Daimya Shri, the Lord has multifarious potency. It's not that the material energy has entrance into the spiritual realm. Specifically, that means it's not possible for Ravana to touch Sita. And then Lord Chaitanya explained the mechanics of what happened. As soon as Ravana went to kidnap Sita, Sita disappeared. She went, courtesy of Agni-Dev, to his abode. And she left an illusory Maya Sita in her place. And so Ravana kidnapped the Maya Sita. So then, after the killing of Ravana and the victorious return to Ayodhya, there was a test made. Was Sita Devi touched, compromised by Ravana when she was in his imprisonment, or was she not? The test was a fire. Sita Devi would enter the fire, and then if she emerged from the fire untouched, that meant she was pure, she was not defiled by Ravana. So, what entered the fire was the illusory Sita Devi, and what came out of the fire was the real Sita Devi, transported back from the realm of Agni Devi. This is what Lord Chaitanya explained to Ravana's ripper. And then Lord Chaitanya left, and as he toured South India further, he came upon a copy of the Kurma Purana. Most of the chapters are still missing, but Lord Chaitanya saw that there was a chapter in the original manuscript explaining, indeed, just what he had told Ram Das Ripper, that the real Sita Devi was never touched. She sent an illusory representation in her place. And so Ravana was just grappling with a Maya Sita Devi, just like conditioned souls. They never touch the real person, they're just touching the Maya exterior. So, Lord Chaitanya took a copy of that manuscript back to Ramadas Vipra, who was so happy. He felt so cared for by Lord Chaitanya. And then Ramadas Vipra could see, you are Lord Rama. You are Lord Ram coming to be in the form of a sannyasi. I'm sorry, when you first came, I could not offer you a proper lunch. But now, let me offer you a wonderful lunch. In this way, Lord Chaitanya solved an apparent problem in understanding Ramalila, and he gave his mercy to his friends. So tomorrow we'll speak about Jagannath Lila, and on Sunday real attempt to speak on Krishna. Thank you very much.